Once there was a civilization, much like ours, but with a greater intelligence, greater powers, and a greater capacity for good.
Even though you've been raised as a human being, you are not one of them.
Folks, welcome back to the Light of Day with your host, Shell and Dan, coming to you live on Orion Talk Radio Network, Saturday night, September 4th, 2010. This is show number 24 on Orion. I don't know how this is going to play out after my show tonight, whether Sean is going to be able to send me the archives for my show or not, or I'm going to have to wait to see if Jimmy gets back. Hopefully I'll be able to get that up right away. Otherwise, I'll have to wait until Monday. So if any of you folks are go to my homepage and don't find the archives there, by tomorrow morning, you'll know that they won't be posted until sometime Monday, I guess. Keep in mind, you folks will want to check out John DiNardo's Red Alert that was posted the later part of last week. It's posted as a PDF under his picture on my homepage, thelightofdayradioshow.com. I want to thank Tonda out there in the audience for listening. I appreciate her updates, even though I wasn't able to reply right away. It's because I can't really be replying to emails while I'm doing my shows. Okay, great. Yeah, I got a Skype message from Sean that I'll be able to get my archives here after the show's done. So I really appreciate that, Sean. Okay, we had a sinkhole that popped up in Long Beach, California. I'm going to slowly but surely go and look for that right now because I'd like to read that. There's also been some water main breaks going on. You know, even though I don't directly talk about Planet X, all this stuff's interrelated to Planet X coming in my firm opinion. Go into my sinkhole folder, and I'm going to look for this Long Beach sinkhole. I hate looking for stuff when I'm doing the show, but you know, like I said, I only had 45 minutes to prepare tonight. Not much time. There's also the Earth is opening up in some neighborhood in San Antonio, Texas. I came across that a few days ago, and I shared that with John DiNardo. But I don't have that right in front of me as I speak. Well, I might have to hold off on this sinkhole in Long Beach, California, but it's somewhere here. I better hold off on that. So we've also had some water main breaks going on. Just reading another Skype message. Boy, you know, when you're doing a show like this, I don't have a crew here working with me, so if there's ever any brief pauses, you know, I'm trying to do the best I can here. It's not very easy for me to do a show without a guest, keep in mind. So I have to depend on my articles to get me through. I have to find this. Here we go, more water main breaks. I sent this off to John DiNardo. I think it was, let's see. Well, it was either yesterday or today. There was a water main break in Wayne, New Jersey yesterday. Let's see. The water main break in North Carolina yesterday. There was one in Lubbock, Texas on the 31st of August. There was a water main break that trapped residents in their homes in Miami yesterday. Water main break floods downtown Los Angeles street. Well, that would have been from a month ago in Los Angeles. So that one's kind of old already. And a San Diego water main break yesterday. So we got New Jersey, Texas, Florida, and California. And those all would have been from yesterday except for the one in Lubbock, Texas. That would have been from the 31st of August. You know, folks, I'm going to be really blunt with you up front here. I almost decided to quit doing these radio shows tonight because I just don't have the time usually to prepare for them, and having kids around to distract me constantly. And, you know, my family, they just don't have respect for me when they know it's time to do my radio shows. So, but, you know, here I am, and the show continues. I did want to point out also it really gets to become a lonely world for people like me and John and some of these others that are into this type of research because, you know, most people just don't care. They don't want to buy it. They can easily blame man for manipulating the weather and causing cataclysms, but they can't conceptualize that a celestial body can come into our system and cause great cataclysm here. And it doesn't even have to hit us, folks. It's called action at a distance. This object can come as close as 14 or 15 million miles away and caused extremely violent earth cataclysms to occur here. People just can't conceptualize what these powerful gravitational and electromagnetic fields from a brown dwarf star, what they can do to a small pea-sized planet like ours. So it's unfortunate that some folks, they just don't get it. You know, it even says in the Bible that some type of phrase that says it'll come as a thief in the night. Well, this is what I think Planet X will be. It's just going to hit people, and they're not going to be prepared, and they're going to be focused on that December 2012 date. And we can thank a lot of these disinformation agents that come on the Coast to Coast AM radio show to feed people this BS. Of course they're going to throw out a date because they want to make people think they have until that date to get ready for everything. In actuality, they don't want people to be prepared. So, based on what I've researched, the Jupiter's closest approach to the sun is going to be in June or July of next year, and I think that's when we're going to start witnessing some very extremely violent solar storms. It ain't going to turn on like a light switch, but it's going to be a gradual buildup. There's been other things going on, folks. If you know who to listen to and what to watch for, you'll see the signs of all this coming together. John Moore says that the Joint Forces Command was relocating from the East Coast. I actually want to use that in a soundbite in the next Planet X soundbite I'm going to make. Me and John DiNardo, by the way, we're the only ones producing these Planet X sound bites. We'll be back. You're listening to The Light of Dan Orion. We'll leave the TV and the radio behind. Don't you wonder what we'll find stamping out tonight? Just like a child. Well, hello, folks. Welcome to the Light of Dan Orion with your host, Sheldon Day, live Saturday night, September 4th, 2010. I did find this 18-foot sinkhole that opened up in Long Beach. By the way, before we run out of time tonight, I did also want to mention I got an email from Kimberly that there was a 49-foot wave recorded on a buoy out in the Atlantic from Hurricane Earl before it was starting to impact the East Coast. So that would have been another possible dot connector that this thing was undergoing some type of manipulation. Just something for the back burner. Okay, this is posted on Los Angeles Times. Massive hole opens up in Long Beach backyard. Before we came back in on air here, I was also trying to find where this earth had opened up in a San Antonio neighborhood. I'm going to try to find that during the next break because that's also something I really like to mention. The sudden appearance of an 18-foot deep sinkhole in the backyard of a Long Beach home has created a stir in the quiet neighborhood and frustration for the homeowner. John Stubbe, 39 years old, said the hole was discovered about 11:30 p.m. Sunday when he let his dog Snow out of the house in the 100 block of East 36th Street. This would have been 2 days ago, like I said. I heard him start yelping, whimpering like scared. This dog is a mix of German Shepherd, Rottweiler, and Dalmatian. He ran into the house again and jumped on my bed. Thinking the dog Snow might have been startled by a squirrel or a possum, Stubbe grabbed a flashlight and went outside to investigate. And there it was, a huge hole at the back of the house, adjacent to the walkway, he said. He wasn't immediately sure what to do. I was just frightened, said Stubbe, who has lived about a dozen years at the home he shares with his 13-year-old son, Kyle. You just don't go into your backyard and see an 18-foot sinkhole. He first called his grandmother, who has owned the home since the early 70s. Stubbe said he learned the depth of the fissure after he called public works officials, who in turn contacted the California State Department of Oil, Gas, and Geothermal Resources. But scant information has been available, Stubbe said. Now here's the highlight of what Mr. Stubbe said. I have not gotten an explanation. They did not have any clue. They just said they've got to do some investigating. The hole is about 20 feet away from an oil well drilled in 1925, said Dan Drysdale, a spokesman for the State Department of Conservation. But the oil well had been capped in 1950, about 12 feet under the surface, he added. Conservation Department officials could not confirm whether the hole in Stubbe's backyard had been a well at one point. Preliminary investigations did not find anything to indicate this was an oil or gas well, Drysdale said. There was no wellhead or casing. The Conservation Department was waiting for Long Beach officials to determine whether there was anything at the bottom of the sinkhole where there was standing water. Quote, maybe there's something under the water that changes our perception, but until that's determined, we can't do anything, Drysdale said. We're in a holding pattern until we hear from the city. Long Beach officials had no comment, but confirmed they had been to the site. So there you go, folks. Take that for what it's worth. These sinkholes are popping up all over the place, as well as these water main breaks up in the northeast. This is something us researchers need to closely monitor. I don't know if I'm going to get a call here or not during my show, but I am actually expecting a call during my show during this last half hour or so, so I'm sort of going to have to keep an eye on that, I guess. Oh, let's see what else we got here. I really would like to find this thing that happened in San Antonio, Texas. I sent it off to John Moore, but for some reason I'm having a problem finding it. You see, I used to use MSN for email, but something corrupted my profile on my computer, so I couldn't use MSN anymore, and I had to start using Hotmail. And Hotmail was really nice to use until a few weeks ago. They had to change the format as to the way you view the page, and I'm very, very uncomfortable with it. But I'm sort of stuck with Hotmail. I don't want to get people all confused with giving them another email address, so I just like to keep the one I'm using. So unfortunately, I'll be using Hotmail until I do like a what's called a destructive recovery on my computer, because then that'll reformat the hard drive to make my profile uncorrupted. but I don't know when I'm going to get around to doing that. That's a very lengthy process when you defragment your hard drive. I'm sorry, not defragment, but do a, what's called a destructive recovery. That actually puts the computer back into its original factory set condition. It's something you should do every few months, according to what the staff at H.P. Hewlett-Packard have told me. Keeps, you know, because the registry gets really clogged up after a while and things like that. But then when you do a destructive recovery on your computer, you have to reinstall all these Windows updates and, you know, get everything set back to the way you had it configured, and it's very time-consuming. Anyway, you know, thanks to the stupid Hotmail, I'm just going to have to hold off on the San Antonio thing until the next break. I guess we could read this. Denver International Airport, some fun facts about the Denver Airport. This is something I saved in a little text file in case something I ever needed to read on my show as an emergency article. The Jeppesen Terminal at Denver Airport roof is made of a Teflon-coated fiberglass material that is as thin as a credit card. The four busiest airports in the U.S., Hartsfield-Jackson, Atlanta, Chicago O'Hare, L.A. International, and Dallas-Fort Worth, could all fit into the Denver Airport's 53 square miles of land. That's how big the Denver Airport is, folks. The Denver Airport is one of the world's greenest airports. It also has the largest solar farm at a commercial airport in the United States. Some people think there is a conspiracy making the airport the center of a new world order. Rest assured, the story is definitely a myth. Well, if there was nothing to that, why would they have to put that on their website, folks? Airport at a glance. Opening date, February 28, 1995. Location, 23 miles northeast of downtown Denver. Elevation, 5,431 feet above sea level. Size is 34,000 acres, or 53 square miles. Has six runways, 5 or 12,000 feet long, and the sixth runway is 16,000 feet long. As far as I know, that's long enough to land the space shuttle on. The Jeppesen Terminal roof is 126 feet from the terminal floor to its highest point and is supported by 34 masts and 10 miles of steel cable. The two rows of masts are 150 feet apart. There's the break, folks. You're listening to The Light of Dan Orion with your host, Sheldon Day. We'll be back. Stay tuned. Okay, folks, you're listening to Live Dan Orion with your host, Sheldon Day. Live Saturday night, September 4th, 2010. Back to the Denver Airport thing. Just some quick, fun, fast facts on the place. This is something I always have saved in and I never read it. The Jeppesen Terminal roof has two rows of masts that are 150 feet apart. The roof system uses a catenary cable system similar to that of the Brooklyn Bridge and relies on design curvature and equalization of the fabric's internal stress fields for stability and the ability to support wind and snow loads. The ability to support wind loads, folks. Well, aren't we expecting 200 mile an hour winds as Planet X gets closer? The roof membrane weighs less than 2 pounds per square foot, a total of approximately 400 tons. Denver Airport's 327-foot FAA control tower is one of the tallest in North America. The tower is engineered to sway only one half of an inch in an 86-mile-per-hour wind. The airport site, though relatively flat, was lowered in some areas and raised in others, requiring the moving of 110 million cubic yards of earth. 110 million cubic yards is approximately one-third the amount of dirt moved during the Panama Canal project. The fueling system at Denver Airport is capable of pumping 1,000 gallons of jet fuel per minute through a 28-mile network of pipes. Each of the six fuel farm tanks holds 65,000 barrels of jet fuel. I'm sort of expecting a call from someone here in the audience, but I don't know if it's going to happen or not. I'm just checking, and no call yet. So I'm going to close out that. I also have something here I wanted to read by John DiNardo, if I can find it. Yeah, this has to do with Matt Simmons' death. I'm sure you folks remember that. Me and John DiNardo believe he was murdered because he was going up against the CFR. He actually had opened his mouth too much, so they murdered him in early August. Yes, folks, this is by John DiNardo. Yes, we all know that Sorcha Fall is a government disinformation agent. However, John DiNardo saw the TV interview with Matt Simmons and his presentation of evidence indicating that BP has been using a phony undersea video scene to deceive the public into thinking that the Gulf of Mexico is being inundated by a lazy low-pressure leak from a puny 7-inch pipe. I also heard Matt Simmons state that the real leak is about 6 miles away from BP's drilling point. As soon as a subsequent report came out that Simmons drowned in his hot tub, I knew that this member of the Council on Foreign Relations had been assassinated. When a member of the Masonic Lodge violates his oath of secrecy, they kill him by drowning him, as in the case of Captain William Morgan in the 19th century. Now, this report, folks, by Sorcha Fall also states that Matt Simmons was about to prove that the Corexit had entered the Atlantic Ocean and is now killing sea life along the coast of the Americas. People who report on the New World Order refuse to have a clue that these seabed oil plumes and that Simmons was about to report on are being caused by traumatic forces and internal heating of the Earth's core due to electromagnetic induction from plasma from deep space being gravitationally accelerated toward our sun. People who report solely on the New World Order refuse to take off their blinders to learn that celestial bodies are now exerting traumatic, molesting forces, both gravitational and electromagnetic, upon our Earth. But these narrow-minded New World Order researchers and reporters will soon have their blinders knocked off by the explosive meteorological and geological disasters now increasing in tempo and in magnitude. When the roofs of houses are blown off by 95-mile-an-hour straight-line wind storms, and when their neighborhoods become huge lakes created by epic torrential rainstorms, the New World Order reporters will be blaming Project HARP. When the Gulf of Mexico wipes out its surrounding coasts in a great tsunami burst, the anti-New World Order crowd will still refuse to have a clue. You know, John really has a great point there. I really get sick of listening to the folks like Alex Jones and so many others out there that just talk about Agenda 21 and man creates all the weather disasters, and it's all can be traced to Project HARP. These folks really don't have a clue what could be coming at them. This could be the most significant news story we need to be reporting on. We're talking about global flooding, global earthquakes like we've never seen before. I mean, things could really, really get bad here soon. And I'm interested in the stuff that's not being reported, folks, because I even tend to think the alternative research community has been infiltrated with disinformation agents. Dr. Judy Wood calls them trolls, and it's a pretty cute name she gives them. But these trolls have infiltrated the alternative research community to make sure that open-minded, patriotic folks are being told what they're supposed to be told. So again, we need to be alert to things that are not being talked about at all. and things that always get ridiculed and criticized. Dr. Judy Wood's research in the 9/11 is a great example of this. I mean, you get to talking about directed energy weapons brought the towers down, and folks just want to say, oh, where's the power supply to, for the satellite to do that? Or they always want to get into these equations about how much power would be needed to do that. Well, are the towers there or not, folks? I mean, it's pretty obvious. Just getting a sip of water there. Now, back on August 10th, there was a breaking alert that a nuclear power plant was involved in a level 2 alert. I'm going to be sending this off to John DiNardo because he says that the Indian Point nuclear power plant in New York could be at risk because of earthquakes in the area that were previously seismic activity in that area was is greater than previously thought. And this could be attributable to all these water main breaks that are happening in the New York area. But I came across this nuclear power plant. I believe it's in Pennsylvania. This was from August 10th. An alert had been issued at PPL's Susquehanna nuclear power plant. I'm going to have to look that up, if that's in New York or not. If anybody can help me with that, I'd appreciate it. But anyway, this nuclear power plant near Berwick, after a leak inside one of the buildings, PPL officials said no radiation was involved. PPL officials said freon is leaking from a cooling system inside the Unit 1 reactor building. So this could be another dot connector. I need to find out what state this is in. But this could help out with John DiNardo's red alert that he issued last weekend about this Indian Point nuclear power reactor being in jeopardy because of previously unknown or earthquakes in the area. Or I'm having a problem talking tonight for some reason. Just bear with me. I hope you folks get the gist of what I'm talking about, though. Well, the show will be over here in about 15 minutes, so we'll have one more break. It should be firing up pretty quick, and then I'll be back for my last segment. There's the break, man. Was I ever psychic? You're listening to Light of Dan Orion with your host, Shell and Dave. We'll be back. Folks, you're listening to Live Day with your host, Sheldon Day, on Orion, Saturday night, September 4th, 2010. Well, the caller that I was expecting to come on the show has decided not to call in, so I'm going to finish up with one or two more articles. We're in the last segment of the show right now. And I did want to thank Tonda from Texas out there for tuning into my show tonight. If you will, Sean, could you send me a message to let me know what our listenership has been tonight? I won't mention it on the air. I'm just curious to know. Sure would appreciate it if you folks would spread the word about this show and others on the network. We're just barely getting started. This network started back in, I believe, March or April, if memory serves me correct. So we need to get the word out. I did want to remind folks that my Planet X Research associate, John DiNardo, has a show on Orion here, and that's on Sunday evenings. I'm going to look right now. I'm usually at the park on Sunday afternoon, so I never get to tune in and listen to John's shows. But what essentially Jimmy has been doing is playing CDs that John sends into the network, Planet X audio dramas that are on CDs. John DiNardo's show is on Sunday nights here on Orion at 9 p.m. Eastern. And he's also on two other networks, but I'm not going to promote those networks because it's not my, you know, it's not my obligation to support what other networks are doing if I'm on a network. You folks may also want to check out Darren Stone. His show is called The Front. That's on Saturdays at 2 p.m. Eastern time here on Orion. He's been carrying John DiNardo as a guest on his show. He's carried me and John Moore also. He's sort of waking up to the reality of Planet X. During the break, I did find this article about the sinkhole that opened up in San Antonio here. This is pretty interesting. This is dated January 25th, but, you know, it did happen this year. The sinkhole in San Antonio at at a place called the Hills of River Mist continues to shift and is now being labeled a slope failure. Well, I'm sure that's the cover story they're putting out. Call it what you like, but the shifting of the earth in this Centex Homes neighborhood is a shocking thing to wake up to. Homeowners have been displaced on both the top and bottom of the hill. About 80 homes are being said to be affected. As investigators and engineers try to figure out what has caused the gap to spread at a rate of about 1 inch every 15 minutes, folks. So here's the earth opening up at the rate of about 1 inch every 15 minutes. I don't know what the current status is on this, but many fear several of the homes will slide down the slope and onto the homes below in the River Mist subdivision. Fissures created by the sinkhole are 12 to 15 feet deep and 6 to 8 feet wide. Pulte Homes has set up a telephone information line for updates and information. Well, maybe I'll want to give that number a call here. They do give a phone number out. A neighborhood meeting has been scheduled for 6 p.m. today, Monday, January 25th, at the Drury Inn and Suites at blah, 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 blah. So here's just another prime example of a sinkhole with some pretty interesting effects occurring. I do have a separate link here. I sent this off to John Moore, I believe, on August 31st. Now, this was posted Sunday, January 24th. Slope failure causes evacuation. Massive hole causes uncertainty on city's northwest side. After more than 24, this is just a separate article with a little slightly different wording, folks. After more than 24 hours of an emergency evacuation and a long night in hotels, at least 55 families in the Hills of River Mist are finally being allowed back into their homes. The rest of the residents are still not cleared from the danger of the shifting hillside. On Monday, the builder, Pulte/Centex Homes, brought in geologists, structural engineers, and soil specialists to prevent any more falling. "It's absolutely horrible," said evacuee Nancy Drellinger. You're stuck. You're in a limbo." Drellinger was at work when she found out the ground in her neighborhood had given way, leaving deep cracks and gaping holes under foundations. "They took me in last night to get my insulin, but that was all I could get. So now we're going to get insurance papers and some clothing for a few days," end quote. The teams of engineers of Pulte/Centex brought in to assess the damage started immediately working on solutions Monday, January 25th. I guess it was that date. "They're going to go down there and take some samples and look at it," San Antonio Emergency Management Director Nim Kidd said. "They're going to group think together and figure out the best course of action." While the San Antonio Emergency Management Director said they are unsure what caused the earth to shift, Jeff Nethery, a geologist with DNA Geosciences, said it is likely not a sinkhole. "The feature," quote, "the feature does not appear to exhibit properties you would normally see with a sinkhole." Just more BS. You know, they always got to come up with a cover story if they can't figure out what's going on. Me and John DiNardo know damn well what's going on. These are Earth changes being caused by the inbound passage of Planet X as it gets deeper into the inner solar system. You know, folks out there want to think this is just a scam with Planet X. It's a psyops. Even Dr. Carley, my long-term friendship I've had with Dr. Carley has just dramatically deteriorated. I mean, it's gotten to the point where I don't even want to archive her shows anymore. I mean, all she talks about is the vaccinations, and always has Patrick Jordan on, same old thing every weekend. She's not covering Planet X. There's so many people out there not covering this topic. I mean, it could be the most significant topic that really needs to be covered right now. If you folks, you know, just want to blow it off by the wayside, I guess the folks are going to learn the hard way. You know, I'm not majorly prepared myself, but I've tried to do what I can to get ready for the event. The evidence out there is just mountainous. It's voluminous. It's all called circumstantial evidence, and we need to pay attention to it. Because as Planet X gets closer, and these events are going to become more dramatic, and people are just going to brush it aside. So anyway, there is that article in the Earth down in San Antonio opening up a neighborhood, a subdivision, if you will. Well, we're just about out of time. I hope you folks have enjoyed tonight's show. I'll be posting the archives. I usually work on posting the archives within 2 hours after the show is done. You've been listening to Live Dan Orion. We've been live Saturday night, September 4th. If anybody wants to shoot me an email, it's gem3in2sonicq.com. That's gem. I'll spell it out. G as in girl, E as in echo, M as in Mary, the number 3, in Tucson, like you're in the city of Tucson, at q.com. I'll just finish the show with this email from Bill Alec here. He says, Bill and his fiancée, Aurora, have conducted a market survey and decided they should change the name of their upcoming touring exposition. They decided to call it I Am Ready Exposition. You can visit the new website at iamreadyexpo.com. And I guess they've added more content, and they're in the process of selecting a proper venue. It's going to be a really big show, according to Bill Alec. This touring exposition is going to deal with the upcoming Earth changes that are coming. I'm hoping that he'll get down here near the Tucson area so I can meet him and his fiancée, Aurora, in person. Anyway, if you folks don't forget, tomorrow John Morris is on Republic, which I believe is simulcast here in Orion, starting at 1 p.m. West Coast time. Hopefully he'll have a good guest on tomorrow. So we got a lot of territory covered here tonight. We want to keep an eye out on these hurricanes, just in case Earl was a test run for what's going to happen on the East Coast. I mean, Michael Chertoff was in New York City 3 years ago giving a warning that a big hurricane could hit New York City with a Category 3 at some point. They spent $30 million there. All right, folks, you've been listening to Live Dan Orion. Thanks for tuning in. Good night.
The Orion Talk Radio Network is here. The First Amendment of the Constitution grants us freedom of speech. That's the freedom to express our views and opinions without censorship. If you listen to mainstream radio at all, you'll notice that free speech is pretty hard to find these days, with just a handful of networks offering programs that dare to discuss topics and issues that have a profound impact on our daily lives. The mainstream media simply lies by omission and distortion of the facts. The Orion Talk Radio Network is committed to bringing you entertaining and thought-provoking programming that dares to tell the truth. And you can help us as we grow our network. If you think you have what it takes to host a show, you know of someone interested in hosting a show, or any other suggestions, comments, or questions, please drop us an email at OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. That's OrionTalkRadio@gmail.com. And thank you for listening to the Orion Talk Radio Network. The Big Shot of the Milliwatt. This is Micro 1650 AM, Tonawanda, New York.